You know, I've been revisiting the life of Peter and the ministry that he had and the things that he had seen. And to echo what Brother Chuck said and about faith and about would there be any evidence that would be seen Peter is a unique character in the Scriptures. Or is it? We know that Peter was just a common man, just like all the other ones. He was a fisherman. Just a regular occupation. Every day getting up, going in the boat and putting out the net and bringing it to the sea and taking the fish to market. Going home to his wife. Bringing home the food, just like every one of us do and have done and will do. Then the Lord met him and told him to follow me, and he did. And in all that process of learning about the Lord and the Lord teaching them about the kingdom, Peter began to love him more and more. He'd seen great and mighty things. He had seen the authority that Christ had over the elements of the world. He had seen him heal sicknesses and make lame people walk and blind people see. Peter had a problem. Peter was caught in the middle between what he had learned and the way he was brought up and the things which he saw that were new. That problem that he had was with the things that were dear unto him, just like the Apostle Paul. Paul says, those things I counted dear unto me, the status I had, I count that but dung that I may win Christ. Peter, it took him a lot longer to come to that conclusion, because y'all remember Peter, he would go back and forth and he was almost a 180 degree turnaround so many times. Peter to me was a man of extremes, an overreactor maybe. several times. Is he so much different than us? When he heard the voice, he followed the Lord, and I'm sure that every one of you have heard the voice of God to say, "Follow me," and you followed him. And yet, he was an unbeliever. He didn't believe. Many times, Scripture says that they were unbelieving. Many times that the Lord had proven that He had the ability to save them and to feed the multitudes, and so many times He had proven to them that, and then that situation would come up again, and they would say, "Lord, what do we have? We don't have enough to feed these multitudes." And He says, "Oh, ye of little faith." How many are we unlike that? When I read that, I think, "Well, my gosh, Peter, he's already saved you once from the tempest, and then you're in the boat again, and you're telling him we're perishing," and he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Peter, he's already proven to you once that he can do it. He can do it again. How many times has the Lord delivered us? And yet we doubt still. Yet our faith is small and weak. When there's no little. That there's no reason. Because we're forgetful, aren't we? And then the Lord said, "Don't you remember the fishes and the loaves? Do you not remember the fishes and the loaves?" Y'all know when He said that? My recollection is correct. They were in the boat and He was asleep in the tempest. I mean, these men that were fishermen by trade. I mean, that's what they knew. They were in the boat and they feared for their lives. The waves weren't just rocking the boat like this. They were going up and down and up and down, and they feared for their lives. And what did they say? "Master, we perish." And what did the Lord answer them? He says, "Don't you remember the fishes and the loaves?" Seems strange, doesn't it, that the Lord would answer them that way. But it all has to do with us believing God and having our confidence and our assurance based in His power and His authority. Not ours. Not our sight. Not our sight, but our faith. "O ye of little faith." And then so many times, Peter, as do the others, they make statements and the Lord rebukes them. And the faith is so much important to our lives that Peter, in his epistle, says that he says, "Add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience brotherly kindness, and all that." And then he says, "And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you're neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off." and hath forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. Peter forgot. They all forgot. They forgot about the power of God. I mean, I'm not talking in theory. I'm talking in reality. In their lives, they forgot that God had the power to feed the 5,000 and the power to save them from the tempest that roared. They feared for their lives. They forgot about those things. That's why Peter could go back and say that the man that lacketh these things and is not using them has forgotten that he's been purged by God from his old sins. And he can't see far off, and he's blind, and he's wandering around with no spiritual compass going on when you don't exercise your faith and add those things to your faith and use your faith. Peter says, Peter spoke from experience. He says, I've been there. I know what it's like to have little faith and to not exercise my faith, and it's bad. And I was blind and I couldn't see far off. I'd forgotten that God's powerful. So many experiences Peter had were not the same exact kind of experiences that we have. I mean, we didn't walk with the Lord. We didn't eat with Him. We didn't go to the upper room with Him. We didn't share the Passover with Him in body. We didn't walk with Him day by day and touch Him and handle Him and all that. But are they so much different, really, than Peter's and the apostles' experiences? Have you seen miracles? I have. Have you seen God heal the sick? I have. Have you been present when the Spirit blowed like a mighty rushing wind? I have. Have you been saved from sure demise and you didn't know how it happened? I have. Have you been so strong like Peter was that you said that when they were there, when Jesus was teaching them before the at the Passover, and he says that I've got to go and be crucified and put to death of the Jews, but don't worry, I'll be raised again in 3 days, and you're going to forsake me. And Peter says, I'm ready to die with you. I'm ready to go with you, Lord. I'm ready to die with you. Have you had that experience when you were so confident and assured of your ability and your faith that you were sure that you would never deny the Lord? I've been there. I've been there. Have you also been in the valley when the Lord looks at you after your denial and been convicted of your stupidity and your confidence in yourself? I've been there. I've been there. Have you declared that even though all these others are going to forsake you, I'll never do it? Peter did. Have you done that? Have you thought in your heart, all these other people around here, they're not godly, but I am. I have. And after making that statement, have you seen the gaze of your Savior? Have you been assured in your hearts that you're going to be with the Lord? I have. Peter did too. And he called it a lively hope. He says he's begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead, from the dead. Is Peter much different than us? No. Do you like to be around people that are like you? I do. Are you afraid of persecution? And maybe what people will say? I am. Peter was too. After he had seen the Lord and the Lord had said, Peter, don't you call what I've cleansed common nor unclean. And then he started preaching to the Gentiles. And he says, I perceive that God's not a respecter of persons. Have you found that out? Peter found that out. He says, I know that God's not a respecter of persons. Have you thought that? I've thought that God was a respecter of persons before, based on outward appearance, based on how people carry themselves. Surely God must be blessing them and able to bless them more than He is the other people, but that's not so. God's able to bless whoever He pleases to bless. Amen. Aren't you glad He blessed Rahab, the harlot? Aren't you glad He blessed Ruth, the Moabite woman? Oh, Peter. Yes, Peter said, Lord, nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth. I'm up here. They're down here. God showed him something different, didn't He? Then while Peter was eating with those common and unclean people, then the uncommon clean people came around. Peter got up, was worried about what they'd say about it. But Peter had a friend, and his name was Paul. Paul stood up before them all and got on to him hard. He says, Peter, you've been eating with the Gentiles, and then when your friends come by, you left. And started kind of railing on them a little bit. So I'm talking plain. Peter, you're a hypocrite, is basically what Paul told him. Peter knew it was true. You been a hypocrite? I have. Have you said one thing and done another because of peer pressure? Because of the way you would think other people would see it? Or think about it? Has their judgment driven your actions instead of the Lord driving your actions and your faith driving your actions? Oh, Peter. After they had seen the Lord rise again, and even after they had been visited by the Lord after He had risen again and been instructed, twice by the Lord after that. You know what Peter said? He said, "I'm going fishing, boys. I'm just going to go fishing." And they all said, "Sounds like a good idea. We'll all go fishing with you." Seeing how we don't know what to do. The Lord's gone. I mean, He's risen again, and I've seen that. Even though I've seen Him being risen again, I'm just going to go fishing. Don't know what to do. You been there? Have you seen great and wonderful things that God has done in your life, and after a little while you say, I'll just go back to doing what I was doing? God's got more things, better things for us to do than that. He told Peter before, He said, "Peter, don't you worry. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." You're going to catch men, Peter. You're going to draw them to the shore. You're going to cast a net. Not for fish, but for men. And so when they were out there on the shore or in the boat, and they had fished all night, they didn't catch anything. Several times the Lord did that to them. Did you know that? When they were out there fishing in the boat, they didn't catch anything. And the Lord asked them on the shore one time, and said, "Children," He said, "you caught anything?" They said, "Nope. We've been fishing all night." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." Peter said, "Lord, we've fished all night long. There ain't no fish out here." He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it." Have you ever follow the Lord just because He said so? I have. In the times that I have, I've been blessed abundantly, like Peter and them were. They brought in so many fish, and their net still didn't break. Then the last time the Lord asked them to do that was after He was risen, and then Peter said, "I go fishing." And they come up. The Lord said, "Children, have you any meat?" I said, "No. Been fishing all night." He said, "Cast your nets on the right side." They did. And John looks out. They were fishing with John and Andrew. They were his partners. They were looking out on the shore, and they saw him walking, but they didn't know it was the Lord. John said, "It's the Lord." Peter didn't even wait. He put on his fisher's coat and jumped in the ocean. About 100 yards from shore, Peter couldn't even wait for the boat to get up there. He just jumped out. Have you been desirous to be with the Lord like Peter was? That when you saw Him, you wanted to be there, and you couldn't wait, and you just went. Caution to the wind. I'm swimming to the Lord. Have you ever done that? I have. And when they got there, the Lord already had fish prepared. He said, "Come and dine." They sat down and they ate. After they ate, you know what the Lord asked Peter? He said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Strange question. He put him on the spot, didn't he? And the way he asked the question wasn't, "Do you love me more than you love these disciples?" It wasn't, "Do you love me more than you love fishing or the fish that you caught?" What Jesus meant was, "Do you love me more than these disciples love me?" This time, Peter wasn't so confident, because I believe he learned his lesson. He said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And what was the Lord's response? He said, "Feed my lamb." You catch men, Peter, then you feed them. The Lord asked him again. Y'all ever notice He called him Simon Bar-Jonah? Simon Bar-Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said, "Lord, you know it. You know I love you." That was the same. That was his name before the Lord changed his name to Peter. When He asked him, "Whom the men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." His name was Simon Bar-Jonah then. What's the Lord doing to Peter? What's He doing to Peter? He's causing him to remember how spiritually egotistical he was when he said, "Lord, I'll never forsake you. Those, all these are going to forsake you. I'll die with you. I love you more than these." Is what he declared, really. All these guys that don't love you as much as me, they're going to run and fly and flee. But I'll die with you. And then when the rubber meets the road, and the woman said, "You know Jesus, you were with him." Peter began to curse and swear, said, "I know not the man." That's when the Lord looked at him and he went out and wept bitterly. And he brings it up again and says, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" He says, "Lord, you know I love you." But he didn't put a measure on it like he did before. He said, "Feed my lambs." Second time he said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I do." He said, "Feed my sheep." And the third time, boy, have you heard the Lord ask you that many times if you love him? I have. He says, "Feed my sheep." Peter was grieved. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know all things. I'm not going to be confident in myself and tell you that I love you more than all these. You know all things. You know that I love you." And the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." Are we much different than Peter? Right after that, they get up to walk. And John was behind them. And Peter looked back at John, and he says, "What's this man going to do?" Talking about John. Are we like Peter? Yeah, I am. Have I been more worried about someone else's walk with Christ than I was my own? Have I been worried about what somebody else is going to do in the kingdom rather than what I'm supposed to do? Yes, I have. Peter asked the Lord, "What about John? You've told me to feed the sheep. What is he going to do?" You know what the Lord told him? He says, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? What is that to you?" Basically, he was telling him, "You mind the business that I've given you to mind, not somebody else's. John will have plenty to do without you telling him what to do or being concerned with him. You be concerned about what I told you to do." Have you ever been concerned with what somebody else was doing in the kingdom of God rather than what he asked you to do? I have. Then Peter, over in Acts, well, I tell you what, Peter needed some help, didn't he? You think Paul had a struggle inside? Sure he did. He mentioned it differently than Peter did. He called himself a wretched man. But I don't think he didn't have the kind of denial that Peter did. He didn't have the same... Oh, he had bad past, but he didn't have the same kind of past that Peter had. Every one of God's people has a different past. But thanks be to God, they'll have the same end. When Peter saw all these things, there was a difference in him. He told him to wait till they be endued with power from on high. And they did. And they were. And on that day of Pentecost, has the Lord ever told you to wait? He's told me to wait. On that day of Pentecost, after, I'm sure, processing all of this information about the Lord being raised, his denial, what the Lord called him to do, seeing the Lord rise up from the earth, to ascend up into the clouds. And hear angels speak in an audible voice saying, this same Jesus that is ascended up into the heavens shall come in like manner. Why are you gazing up there? Being endued with power made all the difference in the world. And after he got finished with the sermon, verse 37, 36 of second chapter of Acts, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I never have looked at this like this before. Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If anybody needed some remission of sins, it was Peter. Think about all the things that he had done. The denial especially. His saying that I'll die for you. I'll die with you. And then fleeing. Boy, I tell you what made the difference?
was the resurrection. It was the power of God that told him this is the prescribed way. This is how you preach it. This is how you feed the people. This is how you feed the lambs and the sheep, Peter. You tell them if you got something going on in here that draws you to God, you draw that man to me. You feed my lambs. You tell them the only way that they can get any relief is to do it. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins on account that your sins have been remitted by Jesus Christ. That's why you get baptized, because you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you feed them with, Peter. You tell them I'm risen. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. You know, that's one of the requirements. I can't imagine somebody wanting to be baptized without enjoying the true word of God. They that gladly heard his word were baptized. And that same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Are we so different than Peter? Maybe in experience, but not in reality. We're just like him. We're just like a lot of the characters in the scripture. We're not supermen. We're not super women, super children. We're just children of God. Having our hearts touched by the Son of God and given instructions to follow the path of righteousness and to follow me, to follow Christ. Any of you have a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, you may come and do so as we sing. May the Lord bless you this week, my friend.